You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider Credential, member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Thursday, the final day of the back-to-back-to-back. We have finally reached the sixth day of the five games in six nights, and it comes as the Pelicans are 2-0 on these three games in a row after a 96-92 win over the Indiana Pacers, a very gritty, grinded-out win, and those type of wins you need to get if you want to be a serious playoff team. We'll recap this game for you, talk about what happened. It was some ugly basketball at times, but the Pelicans really dug deep, showed us something, particularly in that fourth quarter, to really kind of send this one home, get the victory, get out of there. They take on the Lakers tonight, back in the Smoothie King Center before everyone gets a little bit of a break, and we'll preview that game in the third segment. Then, in between, let's talk about Chet Diallo. He's been playing exceptionally well. Everyone wants to know kind of what's changed with this second-year player, and we'll discuss that, look at how he's improved and how he can help this Pelicans team going forward. So the 96-92 victory over the Indiana Pacers, the now 41-31 Indiana Pacers, who were fourth in the Eastern Conference, I believe they're tied for fourth now after this loss. It was never going to be an easy game for the Pels in the midst of this stretch, particularly when you could see this team is starting to get very, very tired. But the good news was the team had Drew Holiday back, though he did need to get an IV at halftime to kind of keep him going. He was feeling that ill. But the Pelicans grinded this one out, and it was difficult, and they did a lot of things wrong. If you look at the box score, you have no idea how this Pelicans team won. They only scored 30, just 30 points in the paint. They had 20 total turnovers on the night. Those two things are usually not what the Pelicans want to be doing. You want high points in the paint and low turnovers. And after turnovers were a very big issue for the team earlier on in the year, they've cut those down and haven't been above 17 since some point in January, I believe is the stat for Jim Eichenhofer of Pelicans.com. So the fact is, they managed to get a victory despite not playing their style of game. And the offense struggled for a chunk of time. This one looked like it was going to be first to 90 wins. Or wins the game. And the Pelicans managed to really actually get to that first, finishing 96-92 on the night. So, who played well? And of course, Anthony Davis really got it going. Late in the fourth, though, he finished with 28 points on the night, 13 rebounds, and really kind of ripped out the hearts of the Pacers with multiple mid-range shot attempts. He looked sluggish. He didn't want to get into the paint. And the Pacers had Miles Turner defend him very, very well for the most part on the night. And he was kind of neutralized, had only, I think, 19 going into the fourth, where he managed to put up a ton of his points. And again, all that mid-range jumper, it was undefendable. You know, Miles Turner and Thad Young were keeping him out of the paint, not allowing him to get inside and do what he wanted to do. So he had to rely on what he could rely on. And I was on Matt Moscona's show on ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge and down here in New Orleans yesterday, and we were talking about this. Sometimes you got to take those long mid-range attempts if they're open, if you know you can make them. And Anthony Davis realized that. It's not the most ideal efficient shot selection if you're into analytics and all of that money ball talk, but when it's open and you know you can hit it, and that's the shot that you got to get, well, that's certainly going to work, and it worked for the Pelicans. Etuan Moore had a big, big game after being quiet the past 2 months, basically. 23 points on the night, first time over 20 points in a significant period of time. And this game might have been out of hand if it wasn't for him early on. He had 15 alone in the first half, really needed his offense to kind of keep the Pelicans afloat. 3 of 4 from deep, 10 of 15 on the night. He had a very, very good game. A night after sitting out for the flu, and it looks like maybe it really was the flu, Drew Holiday had, what did he finish with? 10 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and about 32, 33 minutes of play. He clearly was not himself. He lacked the ability to really get inside and drive and score much that way, but managed to make an impact, and sometimes you just need a little bit from that. And nothing else really notable in this game necessarily. You know, some guys did not play particularly well. Cheick Diallo, who we'll talk about in a minute, almost had another double-double, 9 points, 10 rebounds off the bench. His energy at times, particularly in this stretch, and what's likely going to be the stretch run of the season here as it winds down, is vitally important for the team. I talked about yesterday how against the Mavs, he came into the game and raised the energy level of the team as they all tried to match him. Well, he did kind of the same thing again last night. Not as effective as he was before, but he was getting fouled and got to the line. 5 total free throw attempts, made all 5. That's a new thing you haven't seen from the Pelicans' young big man. Nikola Mirotic was quiet and struggling with his shot all game, and at one point missed 7 straight, his first 7 three-pointers attempted. And then late in the fourth, hits 2 big threes, 1 from the left side, 1 from the right, to really kind of solidify the Pelicans' lead. You could almost look for a hero right at the end, and you could say it was Mirotic. He's no longer kicked out of, as I tweeted out, my tree fort, and there's, you know, he's allowed in the clubhouse, and we can be friends again. 15 points on the night, 6 of those coming at the biggest time imaginable. Even though his shot isn't always falling, though, you can see he does make an impact in other ways. He had 2 blocks on the night, grabbed 6 rebounds. That's good. You needed to see that from him. Now, this game, as we mentioned, 20 turnovers for the Pelicans, but they did a good job of limiting the damage that could be done, and the Pacers only scored 15 points off those 20 turnovers and weren't able to really run and get easy offense against the Pelicans, and that was good because no offense was really easy whatsoever in this matchup. So you can have the kind of off game, but no, you can grit this one out. Other things of note is the second chance points for Indiana. That team had 15 offensive rebounds, but it only led to 17 second chance points. So the Pelicans have been doing a good job of, when teams do get offensive rebounds, of keeping them out of the paint, whether that's Emeka Okafor blocking shots. He played last night, didn't have a significant impact in it whatsoever, by the way. Just 9 minutes, 0 for 4 from the field, but he did have 2 blocks, grabbed 2 boards. You get Emeka Okafor blocks. Anthony Davis has been an absolute terror and monster down low since the winning streak started back on February 10th. You have Mirotic doing what's needed below the basket, rebounding, as we said, blocking shots, making an impact defensively, and at least altering opponent shots, which we saw in this one. So everyone just does a good job, and you can see why this defense has been improving. Something we'll talk about probably next week. I looked up some of the numbers, need to do a little bit more research and kind of follow a few clues here as to what's really changed and talk with a few more people. For the Pacers on the night, their leading scorer was no surprise, Victor Oladipo. Only 21 points though, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. They did a pretty good job containing him for the most part. And really no one on Indiana scared you a ton. No one was really making shots. There were multiple stretches where neither team was scoring. Of note in this game, the Pelicans got into the bonus early in the fourth quarter. It was about 6 or 7 minutes left to go in the game. They did not then attempt free throws until 1 minute remaining in regulation. Not because they weren't getting calls from the refs. They got a ton of calls from the refs. But it was because you don't attack. AD was relying on that mid-range jumper. Other people were doing different things. No one was trying to get inside and score. On the night, where is it? Miles Turner finished with 5 fouls, and they couldn't foul him out because they just didn't go at him. Simple as that. They call a timeout late in the game. Turner just picked up his 5th foul, and you don't run a play with Anthony Davis right out of him to try and get that 6th foul, get him out of the game, and open up the defense a little bit more to really close this one out. Now, it's fine. AD was hitting those mid-range jumpers, but this just goes to show you the mentality to draw free throws and get to the line isn't there. But overall, look, Pelicans got a win. Who cares how ugly it was? We clearly see this team is tired. This is not just the second night of a back-to-back. It's the second night of a back-to-back when you got to play again tomorrow. Haven't seen this in a while. After having the back-to-back over the weekend, again, 5 games in 6 nights is different than them just being tired and not caring in that Atlanta loss after the overtime win against the Celtics the night before. That excuse doesn't apply here because it doesn't matter because, yeah, this team's tired. You can see that they're tired. And when we preview the Lakers game, we're going to see that could be a problem. But at this point, you've gone 3-2 over these 4 games with wins over the Celtics, the Mavericks, and now the Indiana Pacers with a loss to the Houston Rockets. Even if you win or lose against the Lakers, I think when you look at five games in six nights and you say they went 3-2, that's going to be a big victory for the Pels. So good on them to get this win, grind it out, wanting it more. There was a rebound towards the end of the game where Anthony Davis just grabbed it over. Everyone on Indiana was not going to lose that rebound because they know how important this game was to get this victory, knowing how tired they're going to be tonight in the Smoothie King Center. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On NBA. There's an interview with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver up there right now with host David Locke. Really far-reaching interview that covers a variety of topics. I've teased some of it here. I've played you some of the clips. The whole interview is now up, so make sure you go and listen to Locked On NBA. So check Diallo, everyone's new favorite Pelican player. This is a guy on the season who's been averaging just 4.8 points per game and only 10.4 minutes. But over the past stretch of however many games you want to call it, he's played really well. There's been multiple double-doubles in there. You've seen him kind of earn the trust of this coaching staff. So what's going on? What's gotten into the guy and how has he changed? Because this has been a very hot topic, particularly when you see him out there just being so excited, trying to, you know, get the crowd pumped up, doing Wakanda Forever, other kind of dances on the sideline when the team's scoring. It's been really fun to watch him play basketball recently. So let's talk about the Pelicans' second-year big man, this guy that maybe you thought would get thrown into a trade earlier just kind of as some filler to sweeten the deal. And I think the Pelicans right now are feeling really good that that has not happened. So let's take a look here at Cheick Diallo. So again, on the season, 4.8 points in just 10 minutes. But if you go over the past nine games, since he's really started to see a bump up and an increase in play, it's actually 8.8 points per game and seven rebounds, along with near a block per game. The biggest thing, though, is his fouling has gone down. And that's what's really kept him out of games so far this season. His per 36 minute average, because he only plays, again, averages 10 minutes per game or so with a couple of DMPs in there, is that he, per 36 minutes, was having basically five personal fouls called against him per game. Makes you unplayable at times. And that was going to be a very big problem for the Pels. That's why you saw him out of the rotation, out of the lineup earlier on in the year. You just can't have a guy out there that's fouling that much. It reminds you of Alexi Ajinsa from earlier in his career here in New Orleans when they first brought him in. But over the past nine games, those personal fouls are just 2.4 per game in, again, 16 minutes. So per 36 minutes, it's a little bit better than it would have been otherwise. So you're seeing the fouls go down. That also factors into a game where he had an absolute ton of them in there. So it skews the numbers a little bit. Particularly last night where he had four against the Indiana Pacers. But you're starting to see the coaching staff trust him a little bit more. He's fouling less. He's playing better defense. That was what was always keeping him off the court. He was very much a liability out there at times. Now, though, he's got his head on a swivel. He can understand where he needs to rotate over. And you see him playing better help defense, as well as understanding kind of some of the moves that opposing players use against him. He knows how to defend there. He doesn't get overexcited to just kind of leave his feet, jump, and go for a block, allowing a spin move to get by him. And you're seeing him stay out on the court more, which is leading to then more offensive production from him. He's basically doubled his points per game average in this one, and he's got multiple games where he's had 13 points back against Dallas on the road much earlier on, nine games ago. You saw him against the Wizards put up 14 points. He had 17 against Boston, 10 against Dallas. You see him with 15 rebound games, 14 rebound games, or the 10 that he grabbed last night against Indiana. There's a couple of nine rebound games in there as well. He's doing everything you want to see from him. And the biggest thing here is looking at the net rating and his plus minus. And I tweeted this out the other day. On the season, he's got a net rating, offensive rating minus defensive rating, of negative 9.1. So the Pelicans were 9 points better, basically, per 100 possessions with Cheick Diallo on the bench. Never a good thing. Now, that's partially due to him playing with second units and different things like that. But also, it is a bit indicative that he's not helping those second units whatsoever. Recently, though, over the past handful of games, I forget what I set it at. I'm not going to look it up. I'm tired. It's early in the morning as I record this because I was exhausted after last night's game. He's got a positive net rating of 3.6. So he is helping the team now. He's got individual plus minus, which again, in single games isn't the best stat to look at, but looking at it over multiple games or a larger sample size can yield some useful information. He's got an individual plus minus of positive 2.1 in the minutes that he's played on average per game. So when he's out there for his entire stretch, the Pelicans are outscoring the opponent by 2.1 points per game, what have you. That's great. That means that in the lineups, when and he doesn't play with Anthony Davis all the time. It's split about maybe 50-50. So when you look at this, you know, overall, on average, he's a positive contributor when he's on the court. The Pelicans are doing better. They're a positive when he's on the court. And then he's also doing this in lineups where Anthony Davis isn't featuring. So this means bench units that are giving the Pelicans positive contributions. Anthony Davis talked about this the other day, where he said, no, it's great that Diallo's playing so well, basically, because when I leave the game, we worry about the bench and them giving up leads that we've helped created. Now that he's playing so well, those leads aren't just being evaporated and you have to get Anthony Davis into the game earlier. Now you can let him get a bit more rest because you trust the second unit a little bit more. There's a reason all of those guys have been stepping up, and Cheick Diallo is a big reason for that. So Anthony Davis notices this too, and look, Diallo's minutes over the past 12 games have been 23 minutes, 5.5 minutes, 12.5 minutes, 22.5 minutes, 5.5 minutes, 12 minutes, 23.5, 24 minutes, and then 20 minutes last night against Indiana. Those are significant. This is a guy who averaged 10 minutes on the season. Now all of a sudden he's been in the 20s a number of times. When you've got this stretch going on and when you're going to be tired, to be able to get this guy out there who can help you play good basketball and give Anthony Davis more of a rest, that is a win-win all around and something the Pelicans really are going to need. Offensively, we know what he's capable of. He's kind of that rim-running, springy guy that wants to get to the rim, try and finish alley-oops. He's a little too overexcited on that. But he's showing off a nice scoring touch with hook shots and a bit of a mid-range jumper. It's not totally consistent yet, but you're seeing him score in different ways further away from the basket, trying to maybe emulate Anthony Davis just a little bit more. Rebounding has been a big increase for him as well. That's been one of the bigger surprises, I think, for most people, seeing how he's been playing. You know, this is a guy who's averaging 3.8 rebounds per game, and now all of a sudden, that's jumping up to 7. So it's a significant, significant increase here for what he's doing in his per-game numbers and, of course, with everything. So all of that's been really good. You're seeing him do those back taps that Emeka Okafor does. I think that's kind of rubbing off. You realize that can be very effective. Even if you can't corral the ball, just hit it back and try and get offensive rebounds that way, or see if maybe you get lucky and can run in transition with that as well. So he's learning, and he's clearly evolving. He's clearly getting better, and I think that's been a huge thing for the Pelicans. And also, the dude is just a really, really fun player to watch out on the court. I think fans really enjoy that. Certainly becoming a fan favorite there in the Smoothie King Center. As always, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Pelicans. Follow it on Facebook. Give it a like there as well. And then follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels. All of that helps keeps this free in 5 days a week for you. No other podcast coming to you like this, giving you the topics you want to hear, breaking down games, previewing games, diving deep on all the subjects that you need to know if you love the Pelicans. All right, the Pelicans take on the Los Angeles Lakers at home in the final game of the back-to-back-to-back. The 5 games in 6 nights concludes this Thursday tonight in the Smoothie King Center, and that's certainly a good thing because the Pelicans need some rest, and we'll see if they can get a victory here. But this Lakers game is probably going to be the trickiest of the bunch. This was going to be harder than Boston, maybe even harder than that Houston game, and certainly tougher than the Indiana Pacers or the Mavericks. And that's because this young Lakers team is playing particularly well since the start of the new year. They've been on a bit of a run. Really, since the start of December, they've been on a bit of a run. They're 31-39, certainly better than most people thought they were going to be. And they've been scoring, and they've been playing defense, and they fly around and are in an energetic bunch. Pelicans get a little bit of help. Brandon Ingram's going to be out. But Brook Lopez, who's been averaging close to 20-something points per game over the past couple, is going to be into the lineup. So that certainly hurts them. The Lakers play with the fastest pace top to bottom in the league, though the Pelicans kind of like that. So this should be a fast one. The Pelicans are going to have tired legs. And as I said against the Pacers, they need to play in transition. Their half-court offense stunk it up last night because you're tired, you're not moving as well, you're actually being defended in a good way because you don't have a mismatch in your advantage. So you're not going to play the best basketball you can. So the Pels want to keep getting out there and running, and that's good. This Lakers team plays with a high pace, so they're going to try. They take a lot of shots because of that, and they're about middle of the pack when it comes to field goal percentage, ranking 14th in the league. They're going to miss a number of shots because of that. That means the Pelicans can then get back out and run right back at this baby Lake show. So that's a good thing. That's exactly what you want to see. The problem is when they do miss, they're very good at grabbing offensive boards. And after giving up 15 to the Indiana Pacers, the Pelicans cannot afford to let the sixth best offensive rebounding team in the Lakers, team they are more talented than, go out there, get boards, get second chance points, and kind of keep possessions alive and put more pressure on the Pelicans to score. Because again, tired legs, shots are going to be missed. This one's going to need to be a similar win to what happened against Indiana last night. So you've got to be sound on the defensive glass to really get things done. Also, on the defensive side of the ball, try and force the Lakers to shoot threes. They're not comfortable doing that. They rank 18th in three-point attempts. They're 29th in three-point percentage. They're not a great three-point shooting team. They'd rather try and drive and score and then get a putback dunk on a miss, something like that. Take that away from them. You can beat them. This isn't the best team defensively, though they've been much better recently. Not ideal. Again, there's no answer for Anthony Davis when things are going well for him, and certainly that's been the case here. He's going to have a very physical matchup in Julius Randle, who's going to try and keep him out of the paint. Shoot over him if you can is probably the best move there. Anthony Davis has the height advantage, the athleticism advantage. If you can beat him off the dribble and get to the rim that way, that's fine too. Get Anthony Davis out in some space from the three-point line. But don't try and post him up down low, because Randall's strong enough to kind of keep you out there. And certainly you're going to need Okafor or someone like Mirotić to kind of handle that role that he's going to play, because he wants to be physical and bang inside. And I don't think the Pelicans want to subject Anthony Davis to that. In the backcourt, you've got Isaiah Thomas, who didn't really feature in the last game that these two teams played because Rajon Rondo and him both got ejected right away. Frankly, that sounds like a good strategy to me in this one. I say the Pelicans should just do that again, bait him into some techs, get him thrown out, though I don't think that's going to be the case, and I have no doubt that the refs are going to be all over those two players, particularly Rondo, should any jawing start to happen. Overall, though, the Pels should win this game. They are better than the Lakers, though the Lakers have been playing well as of late. If they can just get enough offense, play enough defense, you have to figure this is going to be okay. But certainly not going to be an easy one, because the Lakers zip around, they fly around, and they are aggressive. And on your third game in a row, we can see how tired this team looks. It's going to be a difficult victory. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. We finally all get a break for a day before the Pelicans kind of get back to everything playing the Houston Rockets. I think it's Saturday. I might have that wrong. I'll look it up for tomorrow's podcast. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, @NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.